You are tuned in to 89.1 KHOL. This is Brennan, and I am joined by Dr. Tyler Nordgren. He is a photographer, astronomer, and author. And also, I am joined by Dr. Samuel Singer with Wyoming Stargazing. They are here today to talk about the pop-up to the eclipse event happening from 6 to 9 tonight at the Old Wilson Schoolhouse. Dr. Nordgren's presentation, Come for the Stars, Stay for the Sun, will begin at 7:30. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Hey, pleasure
thanks
to be
having
here.
Us.
Now, Dr. Nordgren, you've been a member of the National Park Service Night Sky Team since 2007. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with the National Park?
Well, the national parks are one of the few places that your average member of the public can actually go to see the Milky Way anymore. Roughly half the people, well, gosh, even more than that, three quarters of the people on Earth can't even see the Milky Way from where they live. So about 15 years ago, the Park Service realized that the parks were the places to go to see the stars. And so as an astronomer, this is where I want to reach out to people about what we're learning about space out there.
Now, you worked on a project a little while back for sundials that NASA's Spirit, Opportunity, and Curiosity rovers carried with them to Mars. Can you tell us a little bit more about that project?
So one of my professors in graduate school, Dr. Steve Squires, was the principal investigator for the Mars rovers, Spirit and Opportunity. And one of the things that they have on those rovers is a calibration target so that you can color balance the photographs that you get back from the surface of Mars. So this little target's got a post, it's got some colored circles on there, and with the post casting a shadow, it allows you to see colors in both direct sunlight and in shade. Well, that's a sundial. And so there was a group of seven of us that got together to turn these things into working sundials. And one of them sits on each of the rovers currently on Mars.
Now, just for a little fun, have you given any thought on how many solar eclipses happen on Mars in comparison to Earth?
Well, using those same cameras that these calibration targets, these sundials were designed for, those rovers have actually photographed annular solar eclipses. And that's because the moons of Mars, Phobos and Deimos, are too small to completely block out the disk of the sun. So in the 13 years they've been up there, I think I've seen at least photographs from three or four where Phobos happened to pass directly in front of the sun as viewed by one of those rovers.
Now, recently you've been working on education around the United States regarding the eclipse. And your most recent book with your research on eclipses is titled Sun, Moon, Earth, The History of Solar Eclipses from Omens of Doom to Einstein and Exoplanets. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with education about solar eclipses?
Well, the last time a total solar eclipse touched the continental U.S. was 1979, and that was up in the Pacific Northwest. I was a 9-year-old boy living in Portland, Oregon. That totality went directly over my house. But because everyone, the schools, the media, was so interested in making sure that nobody burned their eyes out, I thought for sure there must be special rays that came out of the sun during totality that would burn your eyes to a crisp. So I hid in the house with the curtains drawn so that I wouldn't accidentally go blind. And my goal has been that in these last 38 years to make sure that no other 9-year-old kid had that same terrible experience that I did. This is the most awesome sight you can ever see in nature, and I want everyone to be able to experience it.
So you're finally going to get to see the total solar eclipse for the first time.
I finally did see one in 1999, but I had to travel to Hungary. I was at a professional scientist at a conference in Budapest. So I saw it. It took me 20 years. It was so incredible that I realized at that moment that I had been cheated out of a life-changing experience 20 years earlier.
Do you think there's going to be any impact on our wildlife, especially here in Grand Teton National Park?
There really could be. There's stories of people seeing birds going quiet, going back to roost during that quick onset of night. It happens over about really 15 minutes, going from what looks like broad daylight to maybe a half an hour after sunset. But there is some controversy as to whether or not this really does happen or if it's just some sort of an astronomical urban legend. So I know for myself, I would love to see totality someday from a zoo within in the path of an eclipse.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Tyler Nordgren, as well as Dr. Samuel Singer of Wyoming Stargazing. And we are discussing a pop-up to the eclipse event happening tonight at the Old Wilson Schoolhouse from 6 to 9. Now, Dr. Samo, I was going to turn to you for a second. I know you've been working on some podcasts, getting ready for a totality. Can you tell us a little bit about this podcast?
Sure. So we're calling it our 100 Days Until Totality blog series. And so we're releasing a blog every day, starting 100 days before the eclipse until the day of. And that includes about 30 days of scientific information about what total solar eclipses are, about 30 days of history of total solar eclipses, you know, over a 5,000-year period, and then 30 days or so of logistical information about viewing the eclipse safely here in Jackson and in other places across the country.
Now, as a fellow astronomer, I thought I would give you the opportunity to ask Dr. Nordgren a question about the eclipse, if you have any.
Sure. Tyler, I was wondering, since you've created all these amazing posters for the eclipse and you've been doing a lot of research and education, what do you find most fascinating about how public opinion might be different this time with the total solar eclipse compared to in the past?
The thing that's special about this eclipse is that it really does go from coast to coast. That hasn't happened in the U.S. since 1918. So this is a 100-year event. And this is happening over a huge chunk of land. We've got over 2,000 miles of inhabited country that this is traveling over. There are 12 million people alone that live within the path of totality. And just about every single one of those folks is going to have some sort of camera on their cell phone. They're going to have social media with their friends through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. This will be the most photographed, shared, and tweeted event in human history.
Aside from more information on the solar eclipse happening in August, what else can our listeners expect at the pop-up to the eclipse event tonight at the Old Wilson School?
So we're going to have a number of different outdoor activities that are maker activities. We've got a couple incredible visiting artists, Tyler and Monica Aiello, who have done work with NASA, and they've developed these incredible integrated arts and science activities that they're going to share with everyone at the event tonight. So that's going to be awesome. Wyoming Stargazing also purchased a couple of custom-made cornhole sets, so we're going to have those out there. And the design we have on the top of those is pretty out of this world, so you're definitely going to want to check those out. We also are going to have the Pika's truck and Num Num Donuts out there for food to purchase for the event as well.
Great. Well, you guys, thank you very much for coming in and talking more about the eclipse, but a once-in-a-lifetime event, I guess, is worth it.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That was visiting astronomer Dr. Tyler Nordgren and Dr. Samuel Singer with Wyoming Stargazing speaking about the solar eclipse and the event tonight. Pop-up to the eclipse will be tonight at the Old Wilson Schoolhouse from 6 to 9, and Dr. Nordgren's presentation, Come for the Stars, Stay for the Sun, will begin at 7:30. You are listening to 89.1 KHOL, Jackson.